The information presented in this podcast is not intended for the treatment or prevention of disease or any medical condition, nor is a substitute for medical advice. The information contained herein in this podcast reflects only the opinion of the author and presenter and is in no way considered required practice.
Welcome to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connects your brain to your brawn.
Hi, this is Eric Fiorello, and I want to welcome you to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast show that connects your brain to your brawn. We're sponsored by Dr. Wong's Essentials. That's www.docspreferred.com, Sorenex.com, 803-978-2253, extension 111. Also, too, don't forget, Steven Santangelo, unleash your strength, relentless metabolic endurance through 100% pure wholesome organic foods. Athlete's Choice is the only product with the ultimate results you're looking for. Primal Creations at AOL.com. Facebook, STEPHEN, period, SANTANGELO, period, 75. So go out there. Also to StrongerGrip.com. Don't forget, Ryan's been in business for 10 years. He makes high-quality gear for the NFL, college teams, Hollywood actors, arm wrestling, and you've seen his trophies on ESPN. They've also been featured in Men's Health, and they've also made custom hammers for Mick Dodge and thousands of hard training people like all of us out there. Also, to www.grasslandbeef.com. That's our good friend John Wood. They are also called U.S. Wellness Meats. His meat is Top Gun, loaded with CLA and omega-3s, and he is grass-fed, grass-finished right to the end. And he also includes grass-fed lamb, bison, free-range poultry, wild-caught seafood, raw honey, and other wellness products. So go out to grasslandbeef.com. Tell John we sent you. Don't forget, too, the top 10 ways to build mind and muscle. This is through FiorelloBarbellCo.com. Free ebook. Give us your email address and go. And you got 10 paragraphs to inspire, to commit, and take action. Very simple. I wrote them. I think they're very, very good. And our best two products to date, Strength Times Power Equals Success in the Winner's Circle, all out on FiorelloBarbellCo.com. Strength Times Power, all shot in HD, narrated by me, and you'll see Dennis do every movement. This was one of the main at the time it wasn't a product, but everything in this product I used to knock 43 pounds off him in 6 months. It's really worth your while. The Winner's Circle, same way. 12 modules, all spoken by me. It starts from my beginnings to where we are today and in between. There is just a wealth of knowledge here. And as I tell everybody, anything I sell here, I've done. I do everything, man. You can see the film out there. And if you need help, I'm always willing to help, whether you got money or not. That's the way it is. So go out to FiorelloBarbellCo.com and check both of those out. You know, take a shot on yourself. Make a purchase, and I guarantee you, you'll be happy as can be. Also, sponsorship. Right now, at the end of the month, it's $100. 5 to 15 shows a week. You know, you take this on the last day of the month, we still honor it. But after that, it goes up. And remember this. $30 out of whatever we charge goes to muscular dystrophy, at least right now. The kids are getting flu shots because, like my brother Jimmy, he got a common cold and died in pneumonia. I was talking to my mother about that the other night. Upper respiratory usually kills these kids. They just can't come back from it. And Jimmy had Duchenne, which is the pretty hardest form of muscular dystrophy these kids get. That is the most deadliest of them all. And unfortunately, my brother got that and passed away. But on the bright side, everything here, FBC and M&M, is dedicated to Jimmy's memory. We think we're tough. That kid was the toughest person I've ever met in my life, and he always had a smile on his face. We don't see a lot of that anymore. So come join my family. We're going to be in the millions. Come work with us. We're going to be around for at least 25 years, and we want to work and partner up with everybody to help each other. So go out to FiorelloBarbellCo.com or MotivationMuscle.com. Well, today we have a good friend of the show. I've known this gentleman for quite a while before we even decided to do podcast shows today. you asked for him. He's back, and next month he'll be doing two shows with us every other month. We got Dr. William Wong on with us today, and I'm going to give you a little bio of this gentleman, and I'm sure anything I missed he can add. Let's see. Classical neuropath, a PhD exercise physiologist, certified athletic trainer, certified sports medicine trainer, World Sports Medicine Hall of Fame member, and World Martial Arts Hall of Fame member. What the hell? You talk about a resume? Dr. Wong, welcome to the show. Happy New Year. Glad to have you back, my friend.
Thank you. Thank you for having me back on board.
Well, I'm glad to have you because I'm telling you, man, the tone out there is like, what happened? Where is he? I was like, he'll be back. He'll be back. Don't worry. Give anything you want, bio, and Dr. Wong and I are going to get into the attributes of a great lifter, but we're also going to discuss, too, is what's causing people to mentally cave in. We know a lot of the reasons with the physical stuff, but why are so many people, even in the athletic field, what is drawing them and just basically caving their minds in? So, Doc, give us some bio, and we'll get fired right up.
Well, let's see. I always wanted to be the kind of kid that, the kind of dad that a kid could brag about. So even before I started having kids, I tried to build that resume and built the resume in fighting arts, built the resume in lifting, built the resume in athletics, built the resume in my work with physical education, with sports medicine, with athletic training, with naturopathic. And I tried to be a Renaissance man in as much as I could possibly be. There are some things I haven't gotten to yet. Probably won't get to everything before I croak, but I'm going to give it a dang good try.
Yep. And that, so, well, I guess that spell, you know, says it all. I mean, you've done multiple things. Okay, well, I guess in some ways this is simple. In other ways, I'm not sure anymore. We can talk about the standard stuff, but when you see somebody, I don't know if I want to say a great lifter, but someone that is very good with barbells, stones, kettlebells, whatever it is, martial arts, MMA, but you know, we're kind of like the stone, the sandbag guys and the big weights and the racks and all that.
Yeah.
Is there anything to you that really sticks out? You know, you've been around football, you've been around a plethora of athletes, all right? In your time span that you've been here, is there anything that you've seen in all these athletes? Is there one thing or is there multiple things that stick out to you?
There are multiple things. Let me give you a for instance.
Okay.
Ken Patero was a stronger man physically than Vasily Alexiev.
Okay.
But Vasily Alexiev had the timing and the suppleness and the movement in his joints where he could
yep.
do the second pull and the clean and the jerk, whereas Patero would always get caught with his wrists in the wrong place on the second pull.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so while Patera was stronger from the racks, Patera could easily overhead lift well over 400 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
Alexiev had to kind of jerk it and cheat to do it. Patera could do it in a strict motion.
Yep.
But coordination wise, Alexiev had it all. As big and as meaty a brute as he was, Patera looked more like an athlete. Vasily Alexiev was just a coal miner, you know.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
he had the timing. One
yeah.
of the things that I'm looking at the lifting scene. Look at the international lifting scene now. Ain't no Americans there. Ain't no Russians there either.
Nothing. No.
But yeah. Where the hell did all the American lifters go?
Bob Hoffman died. I think that's what happened.
Yeah, maybe.
What I think is, and there was rumors all over that they weren't even going to show weightlifting on the Olympics anymore. They'd rather show a bunch of idiots going down a slope on a board. I mean, are you kidding me?
Or running back and forth across a court.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Or ping-ponging a tennis ball. Or yeah, I know.
Yeah. And you know the funny thing was, it was bad enough you'd have to tape it because they wouldn't show it till like 2 o'clock in the morning, anyways. And you know, I was like, what the hell is going on here? And you know, I think, you know what I think with Olympic lifting, we kind of got into this a little bit on the show the other day. I don't think America, the other countries, European, they understood. I don't think America ever understood what Olympic lifting was. Now, it's somewhat brought back with CrossFit, but, you know, that doesn't do it for me. I'm not going to go watch that. I mean, there are some good Olympic lifters in that, but the sport itself pretty much is dead in the United States. I mean, yeah. Think about it. The last big name in America, I mean, Patera was big. I mean, Paul Anderson will always be the guy when right. You hear, you know, you go out. Hepburn was very good. I don't know how much he did do Olympic lifting, but I don't understand because it is, well, I would much rather see the press in it too. When that went, that, you know, to me, but a lot of people tell you that was all politics, blah, blah, blah. Well, okay. But, I think it's such, you know, a clean and jerk. Think about how not only coordinated you can be, but how strong you got to be to split and be able to put that over your head. I mean, the coordination to go like automatic, bang, 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 it's over your head and locked out. It's just unbelievable. And I remember hearing stuff. A couple people were telling me before, Alexia used to train at night when no one was around. Now, I had heard, and I don't know if this is true because I don't remember. Was it like 505 or I don't remember what his – he was over 500, obviously, with the clean and jerk. I had heard rumors that he used to front squat 1,000 pounds.
Wow.
That's what I heard. You got to figure, too, though, to put that type of weight, you'd have to have a hell of a front squat, too, even if it was 800. I mean, I got to believe that because you know, the only guy that I think that was ever kind of close to him, but he always seemed to lose by a few points, was that monster from Belgium, Serge Redding.
Oh, yes. Yes.
You remember him?
Yes.
He was a brute, man.
I haven't thought
about
him in years. Yeah.
Yeah. And he died very young. I think he died of a heart attack. But if you remember, when it went down to the wire, he'd have Alexia by a pound or two, and Alexia would beat him by a half a pound. I used to say, damn, man. I mean, poor Serge. And that guy, you know, when people talk about thighs, I've got a picture of him standing. I think he was doing heavy pulls. You know, I remember watching the NFL, right? They do all those old games. And we were watching them last Christmas, and they were talking about, like, big people and stuff like that. Do you remember a guy? Now, I never saw much of him because I didn't start following it that way. Do you remember a running back from Dallas named Robert Newhouse?
No.
You ought to see the size of that dude's legs, man. And you know what I used to like? He wore, like, that, you know, like that horse collar around their neck they wear?
Yeah.
That white. I mean, it was just the look. Huge, but when I think of legs, I can picture it in my mind right now. Serge Redding, man, I don't think there was a part of him that wasn't gigantic. You know what I mean? It was just built. And you know, when you see these guys, it's an awful shame we have no representation in that stuff anymore. And I personally, I hate to say it, unless somebody came in that was really a mind like that, I think Olympic lifting is pretty much finished in this country. At least as a competitive sport, and what we have just isn't going to measure up to what's out there now. You know?
Yeah, you know, the same thing is happening in various other countries because of culture. One of the top Wing Chun teachers in the world is Duncan Leung. Duncan Leung used to be the official fighter for Yip Man's Kung Fu School, which is the school that produced Bruce Lee, produced my Sifu, Moyat, and but Duncan was the school fighter. He officially represented the school in challenge matches, and if you're familiar with the challenge matches back in Hong Kong in the 50s and 60s, they were almost death matches.
Yep.
You know, one guy was going to leave intact. He may crawl away, but only one guy was going to leave. The other guy was going to get carried out somehow, some way, either with his heart beating or not.
Yep.
So he fought several thousand of those and was just fine. Now, he went back to China in the mid-2000s because China was being beaten in tournament fighting in Kung Fu, and he was going to go start up a team and he was going to go teach them the way that they used to teach them. Well, what got in the way was China's one-child policy. The one-child policy means that families can only have one kid. They usually elect to have a boy, and they spoil the living shit out of them. So these kids weren't used to hard work anymore, and they certainly weren't used to somebody hitting them, and they weren't used to somebody yelling at them. The Chinese army is having the exact same problem, thank God, since we're probably going to go to war with Red China soon.
See you later.
Now, we're having about the same issue here, but for a different reason. Our boys are turning out too soft because of soy formula, of mildly coddling, of don't spank him. He's just expressing his childhood, whatever. So everything leads to the formation of this bubblegum mentality, this soft outlook on life, and kids no longer have the drive to hurt, to work really hard, work through the pain, and accomplish a goal. As soon as it starts being hard, they give up.
Exactly. I agree. You know something? You know it is very puzzling to me, and I think you're going to understand this, and the listeners are going to go bananas when I say this. Let's put it this way. I like training harder now than I ever have, but let me clarify everything here, and maybe you can tell me what's going on. Why is it I want to train in more extreme weather? Why is it I want more cold? Why is it I'll go out in anything now, no matter what? And what is it now? And I can almost put my finger on it, because you remember, life has changed drastically for me in the last 3 years.
Right.
And I'm going to say all in a positive way, other than, like, I've told some stuff to Dr. Wong offline that I'm not going to say here yet until we know. What do you think happened to me? What transpired with me? Because I was always a pretty tough kid, and I was never afraid to go out and train or anything like that. But different things have happened to me now mentally. What do you think? Why am I getting more and more extreme when most people would say to me, all right, you're in your 40s, it's time to start letting up. What's going on with me, you think?
You've had adversity, especially with your injury. But you survived the adversity, and you realize that you're stronger because of the adversity. And you realized that, you know, I don't like the philosopher Nietzsche, I always mispronounce his name. But he's the one who said that whatever doesn't kill us makes us stronger.
Correct.
Okay. It is true that it's like boot camp. We have a certain level of toughness, and then we go through boot camp and we realize we have an entirely different and higher, much higher level of toughness than we ever thought we could endure. And going through adversity teaches you that, hey, you know, this pain is actually building character. This pain is actually making me think in different ways and work out problems in a different way, so that maybe my right arm, I personally have a completely torn right bicep. So I'm having to do all sorts of stuff differently just to be able to lift a 50-pound bag of dog food.
Sure.
So you know, the adversity, the pain has actually enhanced and built my character. It has made me stronger. Yes, I sit around for maybe 2-3 days and a week at most, and then I go, shit. All right, let's work through this. We have to reach that point. Now, I don't think the kids these days are getting to the point where they actually hurt enough to reach that point.
No, I agree. There's nothing out there. Look, I'm glad I got in lifting when I did, because who knows in today's society when, you know, when all you want to do is text and things of that nature and sit and play video. And that's not everybody. There's some good kids out there, good athletes, but you're looking at this more and more happening, more frequencies. I told people before, I think I told you on the show, my brother's turning onto one of the big main streets here in Albany, and he sees this guy, and he's texting, and he's looking down, okay? Now, he's making a left, and that light is right at this big, busy intersection, and there's this guy, and my brother said, I knew he was just going to step off the curb and walk, and by God, didn't he, on a green light, He's lucky he didn't get killed. Seriously, because I know that. And this is the tragic thing with everything. It's like nothing, and I repeat, even weightlifting should never suck you in that tight. Yep. Because we got in a big thing yesterday, Bud Jeffries and I, where he was talking about, and I agree with him, we get very self-absorbed with things for a long time, and relationships suffer, family can suffer, you can suffer, but the thing I was a little bit different with was this: lifting to me will always be my nucleus to everything in life. And I said to him, if I lost it, I don't know what I would do at this point. I've never contemplated it, and I never want to contemplate it. And his response pretty much was, well, you know, this is why you want to be involved in other things, and that's not the only thing. And I've got no problem with that, because I've had to, since the business especially, it's not all about me anymore, okay? And you know, you have to become less self-absorbed. You know, when you got, you know, you have to make a living, you have to be pretty smart, creative, and things of that nature. And there's a lot of other things going on. There's a lot of dynamics. But I think that with lifting, what I have found and what I recognize in people is there's a certain something about people I can always find. Like, you could come here as a rookie, and I know right away if you're going to cut it or not, if I want to work with you, because I do things like a lot of people. I watch mannerisms. I watch your tone of voice, how you talk. I watch basically when you walk to a bar or a sandbag. Are you walking at it like you're going to break its head off, or are you going to stand there and let them poke you in the eye with it? And I think those right. And I think those things are very important. Now, two words I've been using lately, and it's in my head all the time, is basically dominate and obliterate. All right? Now, those two things make me work. And I mean, they make me go like crazy. And I think that to become a great lifter, and obviously we're going to get into why we're broken mentally, is there a few things. Number one, we know you got to really want it. Weightlifting is not going to be something where you can wish for it and it's going to happen. It's not going to. Is it going to be pain? Oh, there's going to be a lot of pain, man. There's going to be more pain associated with you physically and mentally than you've ever had in your life. The question is, can you take it? How much can you take from this stuff? And that's the big thing. And I think we're living in a world today where everybody likes to throw their arms up in the air and say, you know what? Not for me. It's the same thing with, you see, with relationships, with marriages and stuff. I know more people that have just thrown their hands up with the littlest bit of adversity and said, you know what? I'll go find somebody else. And you know what? They might, but they're going to, you know, it's like they say, if you keep repeating the same thing over and over again, you're going to get the same damn results,
right,
man.
Exactly.
So, you know, lifting is a funny thing. To me, lifting is such a measurement of who you are. I mean, I can go out there some nights and light the world on fire, and then other nights, man, I flat out suck. I really do. And I'm like, how can I go from this extreme to that extreme? Well, sometimes you got things in your head you're not getting rid of, or it's circulating back through. Or you know what? Maybe you're not recovered. Or you know what? Maybe I just don't feel like being in here tonight, and I ought to admit it and do what I can do and get the hell out of here and get ready for, you know, the next adventure. I think those are things that a lot of people don't recognize and realize, because they're going in there with the idea. This is what I always say. You know what? You can be really talented, but you know when you know you're talented is when you hit a brick wall with your training or you get injured. Because, as you know and I know from having bicep tears, you got to become a little bit creative in how you do things and your thinking. There's a lot of stuff you got to flush out of your head. And the thing is, when you don't have the crowd around you cheering you anymore, or everybody telling you you're so great and you've been hurt, and they're kind of like, hey, we're going to go find the next guy or girl here. What do you do then? What do you do? You just cancel your life and say, you know, screw it? Or do you stand up to it and you beat it eventually? So I'll go back to you, Doc. But, I mean, it's like I think there's just so many things with training that teaches you and gives you the ability to sustain and go on and obviously put it right down the line with anything else you want to do. But I also think that you can teach somebody so much, but I think you have to have that inherently in you. And somebody might say I'm full of shit, you know, but I don't think so. I think it's an innate intelligence, like you and I were talking about on some shows a few months back, where I think these things all come into play. What do you feel about that?
You know, you're absolutely right. You have to have it in you, or you have to have it taught and programmed in you. Now, I've seen some kids who I thought were soft.
Yep.
Who made it through boot camp.
Yep.
Make it through Paris Island, you're a tough guy.
Yeah.
And the something about the training itself, yep, brought out their need to survive, brought out their need to excel, brought out their need to achieve the goal, and they went and they did it. So even in folks who are a little on the wishy-washy side, if, yep, they dig down deep, and I know everyone says, dig down deep, the coaches are always talking about that shit.
Right, right.
You know,
yep,
you can find it, but you have to be willing, perfectly willing, to put through and sustain the pain that you're going to go through.
Yeah.
And have it. Accept it as part of the training regimen. You know, one of the things that we did in Kung Fu training at the very beginning was an exercise called Pak Sao. It looks like patty cake.
Yep.
Someone's throwing chain punches at you, and you're basically patty caking their wrist. But when you do it right, you can actually break a person's forearm with that patty cake.
Okay.
And the older Kung Fu brothers, who are initiating the younger Kung Fu brothers, are doing that patty cake movement with the pisiform bone and the edge of their hand, and it really hurts like hell. When I taught it to my students, I always had a 5-gallon bucket of ice water ready.
Yeah.
So that at the end of the exercise, they can shove their arms in and try to get rid of some of the pain, but you have to be willing to go through the pain while the other guy's chopping at you. And
absolutely,
that began to build the mental toughness. And then beating a student's knuckles against a bag of sand and rocks nailed onto an oak tree.
Oh,
just to condition their hand. And you know, my students used to ask, do I really have to hit this hard? And one of my guys got into a fight.
Yep.
One of my students got into a fight. He was about 6 months along in his Wing Chun. And this big bad karate guy came up and he tried to hit him and stuff. My student landed one punch. He didn't get to land another one because the guy was 6 feet away, flying through the air by the time he was throwing the second punch. And right then and there, he realized why it was so important to hit bags of sand and rocks nailed onto oak trees. Because you don't have to hit a guy twice. All you have to do is connect once, and that's it. End of fight.
Yep. So, well, that's why... Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Putting up with the pain while you're training builds character, and it shows you. It gets you to the ultimate goal of achieving that end.
Yeah. Well, you know, I've been... how am I going to put... I've gone back to all thick bar training.
Mm-hmm.
And I did it for a reason. I'm using a 2-inch axle and a 3-inch. And I got thinking, you know, with the problems I had in my shoulder, especially at the, you know, the middle of last year, which I've never had any issues with, I thought it was a smart move, and I'll tell you why. I wanted the hands to dictate my strength for the night.
Right.
And I felt that it was the smart money. And I've had this discussion with a lot of people, and they're like, well, you know, your weights are going to come down significantly at first. And I was like, yeah, so? I said, the main thing is here, we're using this to train with stones, and the stones has to go out, and it's going to have to be paramount in the next 2 months, too, where it's pretty much going to be that all the time, and the other stuff's going to follow. And I said, but think about this for a second. The thick bars, no matter what you're using and executed properly, are going to build more ligament, tendon, and muscle belly than you are with a 1-inch York bar. I'll argue that till the day I'm dead about that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but you know, you're not using. I said you're not listening to me. The weight that you're surrendering, if you want to call that, is being made up by building stronger body parts. Now, when I go And not only that, you know, you need the fingers to be able to lift a stone in Iceland or anywhere you
right.
go. If we've gone through this over and over again, I've learned more and more about this stuff between Bill Crawford and Bill Hinburn and all this other stuff we've talked about. And anybody I've talked to with stone lifting is this. The bottom line is you can have a 700-pound deadlift, but and that is a killer deadlift. But, and here's the big but, it doesn't equate to lifting a stone. And I'll tell you the two reasons why. Most people do not have strong fingers. And you'll say to me, you won't say to me, but somebody will say to me, well, they lift 700 pounds. Well, they're using straps, number one. Now, I'm not taking anything away from the lift, okay? That's a serious lift. But once again, I'll state this again. It does not equate to lifting a stone. And I can tell you that totally. I got a very strong hip girdle, back, shoulder girdle. My fingers, I don't feel the first time, were strong enough. Now, these things are going to be like daggers, man. They're going to be able to penetrate any stone I go to grab, whether it's got handholds, grooves, if it's baby talc, which all those stones are. That is going to be the deciding factor in what I do. But, like you said, with martial arts, the hands hitting things. You know how many bags of sand I pick up and they're, you know, and it's shifting all over with it. Kegs I pick up, shifting all over. Stones, let's forget about it. I mean, a stone can do anything it wants to you. I don't care how strong you are. Do bent rows with stones. Dig your fingers in. I mean, take stones. This is a new thing I started. I've got a cement garage, obviously, and outside, too. It's all stone. I will take anywhere from a 50 to 100-pound stone, and I know people have said, well, that's not heavy. I said, okay. Take that stone, dig your fingers into that stone, and push with your hands as hard as you can against that garage wall. Let's see how long you hold it for, strong guy.
Exactly. Bingo.
Yeah, yeah. And when you say that gentleman who went out and this jackass picked on him and got his clock cleaned, literally, it's the same philosophy I use here. I'm not punching bags of stones or sand, but I'm executing it in a different way where my hands are always being involved with, like, pulling and strangling and holding and throwing and dumping it on the shoulder and dropping it on the ground. People don't realize how strong. Now, think about this. You're pressing a 3-inch bar overhead, dead stop in the power rack, all right? I don't care what you're using. And I've got fairly big hands. I don't care. A three-inch bar will test you like you can't believe. You've got to dig those fingers in. Just think what's – that's what I say. You can immobilize somebody just with your hands.
Yes.
You can get them just like that if you want to without even throwing a punch. Because let's face it, you and I both know most men you shake hands with, their hands are soft and sweaty.
Let me tell you a story.
Yeah, shoot. Go ahead.
Back in the late 70s, I ran an executive health and fitness center in the Wall Street area. Did that for 3-4 years. And training with Nautilus machines and all the latest Nautilizing crap and stuff, I noticed since there were no grips anywhere and nothing to hang on to on the Nautilus machines, except with the exception maybe of the bicep machine, my hands got smaller.
Yeah.
My rings were loose. I didn't have big, thick, meaty hot dog fingers anymore. Matter of fact, I thought my hands looked rather long and delicate. I'd go, shit. So here, you know, and I realized I wasn't gripping a bar anymore.
Exactly.
I was pushing with my elbows. I was pushing with my knees. I was pushing with my whatever, pushing and pulling. But I wasn't gripping anything, lifting anything, or carrying it around.
Yep.
That was one heck of a realization because we could be as strong as we want to be, but if our hands can't manage to pick up, grasp, and hang on to whatever it is we're trying to lift, whether it's a person out of a fire or something out of the back of a car or groceries, you can have 17-inch arms. If your hands aren't strong enough, it doesn't matter worth a shit.
Nothing. Not a thing. And, you know, that's a big thing. People think big arms are going to do everything. I can tell you today, testimonial. You better have wrists and hands and fingers. I'm telling you right now, if you want to lift anything significantly, especially if you want to do any type of deadlifting with a clean grip, you want to do a power clean, you know, any of the stuff we talked about, you want to press overhead, I don't care if you clean it or you rip it out of a set of squat stands. I'm here to inform you. I mean, obviously, you got to build strength through the whole body. We know that. But the point of failure are going to be your hands. I'm telling you right now. So anybody out there who's going to be listening to this show would be very wise to really invest in their fingers, hands, and wrists for sure. And I'll tell you right now, I don't know what's going to happen. I mean, I'll go back to the one-inch bar eventually on and off. But I do think I'd like to design a few in-between bars between a 2 and 3 inch and get on those too. It'd be a lot of fun to do that because I think if you really work this stuff properly, the benefits are just enormous, and it's nothing to be afraid of. I mean, so what? Your weights go, all right, what if you lose 25% on your weights? Who cares, man? If you stay with it long enough, you're going to build to it. Just think, if you're doing a 500-pound deadlift and you do a 500-pound deadlift on a 2-inch bar with no straps or anything and there's no knurling, what do you think you're going to be like physically and hand-wise? And think about the mental end. I mean, we haven't even talked about that. It takes a lot of mental to be able to lift those things because, man, you know right away, you know right away, not only is it the weight, but the bar is stacked against you.
Yes.
So what are you going to do? So, I mean, there's another thing, you know, rise up to it, go out and get it. You know, I want to ask you too. I mean, you know, we know these are the attributes, obviously. And we talked about a lot of, you know, we were going to get into why are people caving in mentally? And we see it all over. And we know there's a lot of outside stuff coming in media-wise, and everybody's inundated with this 24/7. They've got to have the. I mean, let's just look at last weekend, and this is nothing against anybody because friends of mine who were in Kentucky and stuff had all this snow, dangerous stuff. But we're constantly being inundated with gloom and doom, in my opinion, all the time. It's never anything that, you know, you can do it, you can get through it, you know, you're not going to die from 3 inches of snow. You don't have to go to the supermarket and clear the shelves off because you got plenty of food and you're going to be able to be all right. But other than that, why are people's minds caving in, you think, so much now, Doc?
They have been taught not to be tough. We have spent, back during the 70s, let's go back and blame the right people for this.
Yep.
In the 70s, it was a lot of junk science, absolute garbage junk science, to support the feminazi movement, to show that testosterone was bad. Everything about testosterone was bad. The criminals had too much testosterone. Men have too much testosterone. Testosterone causes wars. Testosterone causes rape. Testosterone causes this. And all this absolute bullshit science. And now testosterone is bad. Estrogen is good. And then it's good to be soft and understanding. And the media just built up on that. Look on television now. Try to find a hard actor. A John Wayne or anybody that
they're not there.
That's good and tough on TV.
Yep.
That isn't Australian. The Australians still have it. What the fuck happened to us? You know, the mindset that the media has portrayed, the mindset that the media has told men that they need is one of soft understanding and whatever, and these are all the guys who, when the shit hits the fan, are going to absolutely cave. They're going to fail their families by not being able to protect them or support them. These guys are not going to really work their asses off to be successful. They're going to be failures, and they don't have the mental drive because the mental drive comes with the testosterone. The testosterone builds the attitude. And when you live in an estrogen-dominant world, what are you going to be? You're going to be soft and caring. You're going to be very understanding. You're going to have really nice, delicate hands. You're going to have to decide what color nail polish to put on them. you're going to have all this absolute garbage stuff that demanifies a man, that feminizes a man. I'm trying to invent words here. And these guys will be absolutely freaking useless. Now, that's what the powers that be want. That's what the elites want. They want a ruling class, and they want a subjugated class. They want masters and slaves. But let me not get into that, because I'll talk on that for hours. So, in order to make slaves, you have to take away the slave's ability to resist.
Yep.
So you do what they do in prison camp. You feed them badly. You feed them all sorts of... Hey, Hitler. Hitler used to give the people in concentration camps fluoride, not to make their teeth stronger, but because fluoride causes the mind to be more malleable to suggestion.
Yep.
We didn't put fluoride in the water just to make teeth strong. Matter of fact, there's a condition called fluoridosis, where your teeth are too damn brittle and they're breaking out of your mouth. We put fluoride in the water to make people more malleable to suggestion. And then the media worked on giving us all the suggestions we needed in order to make us soft. The toughest Americans have ever been. The toughest, the biggest, the strongest was the World War One generation.
Yep.
Those guys, most Americans back then were over 6 feet tall.
Yep.
They were in the 180s, 200s.
Yep.
And they could work all day and all night. They could slave, they could do, and they were mentally and physically tough. Their kids, the kids of the Great Depression, were at least 8 inches shorter.
Yep.
They were a lot scrawnier because they had hardly eaten anything. And they weren't as tough, but they were still pretty tough. That's my parents' generation.
Yep.
After that, it's downhill. As soon as the 60s hit, and especially when the 70s hit and the feminazi movement started, and it was bad to have testosterone and all that other crap, all of a sudden, that's when you start seeing all these soft males. That's when you start seeing all these failures in life because the men have no fucking drive.
Yep. Yep. And you can't, and you know, you and I both know, you go out in that weight room, you got to have drive. I mean, I can just plug that right into there, but it doesn't matter what it is. I've met enough guys now where I can look at them facially and know pretty much what they're up to.
Yeah.
Seriously, because, did you ever notice, like, guys, you know, and people be like, no way. Did you ever notice, though, like, somebody that's really got it going on, you can see it just, like, in the structure of their face, man, in their eyes.
Uh-huh.
I've dated enough women, all right? Look it. And this is something I'll argue with today. Look, people say, you know, the reputation of weightlifters are usually bullies, not too articulate, definitely dumb as a pipe, et cetera, et cetera. But I'll tell you what, the majority of people I've met that lift, that are in this field, that come on the show, are all entrepreneurs, and they're pretty sharp guys and girls.
All
right?
Individual athletes are smarter than team athletes. Team athletes are dumber than shit. You've got one guy leading the team, and the rest are followers.
Yep.
Individual athletes, lifters, shooters, fencers, you name it. They think for themselves.
Yeah. And that's one of the that. Go ahead.
No,
I'm sorry. That's one of the reasons why I used to like team sports. But as soon as I tasted a bar for the first time, that was the end, man. I knew it was done. I knew I found what I'd like to do. How many people are going to motivate themselves to go out in zero weather in a garage by themselves at 7 o'clock at night? Now, this is of my own volition, but how many people are going to be that motivated to go out and do something
Hardly
like
any.
That? Exactly.
These days, if you don't have a cheerleading section,
you can't do it.
And someone telling you how wonderful you are, how long your dick is, how big your balls are, or whatever else, it doesn't happen. You know,
that's what I understand, and you know, I'm sure you can. Why does everybody need approval now?
I beats the crap out of me. I don't know.
Most of
us got to weightlifting. Oh, you got to get muscle bound. You won't be able to move.
Yeah.
You won't be able to touch your toes. You know, all the doctors were against weightlifting when I was a kid. They want my mother to stop me.
Yeah, but when you walk into their office, they're all smoking Pall Mall still.
Oh, heck. I knew a doc. One of the GPs I used to go to as a kid had a filth ashtray in every room, and he chain smoked. He would light up one cigarette from another while he was examining you. Yeah. Of course, he died of lung cancer.
Of course, but figure that. You're taking, you know, they want you to take advice from somebody that's sitting there chowing down cigarettes. Coughing all over you and everything. You got to love that, right? No, but you know something I think, too? What I see a lot is this. I think males, more than ever now, are more confused about where they belong in society, where their place is. And I got news for you. Girls don't want this touchy-feely guy. I don't care how they're portrayed in public or in the newspaper. You go out with a girl, all right, you know something? Here's the deal. All right, so you're a big guy, whatever, you know, you do stolen, whatever you do, martial, whatever, all right? But most guys who are in that stuff that really understand the whole deal about it, know how to compliment a woman, know how, you know, get there a little earlier to pick her up, or
most
learn how to...
eating with women to be prettier.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, I don't want to be prettier than her, you know what I mean? as I always say this, I like girly girls.
Yep.
That's what I like. I don't care. Great. She's in great shape. She looks fantastic. But I like girly girls that dress like girls. And everyone's going to say, well, what does that mean? Well, if we go out somewhere, she looks nice in a dress. She looks nice in a pair of heels. Whatever she wants to wear.
Great set of calves. Beautiful calves and a set of high heels. Oh, my God.
She smells. Wonderful. Smells good, man. Right. But they take pride in their appearance. Yeah. And this is where a lot of girls, you know, you look at a lot of girls now that are even pretty. They dress like slobs, man. And that's not attractive at all.
To be moving to the 60s.
Yep, absolutely.
Don't just buy my body. Okay, what am I supposed to look at first? I mean, I haven't gotten your mind yet because we haven't spoken. So how am I supposed to figure out that I want to go out with?
Yeah, but the thing is, when she opens her mouth, you might be doing a 180 and taking off.
Oh, God. Yes.
But that's the thing, Doc. It's like the more people, I don't want to say everybody, but I just seem to meet a lot of people, like when I'll say, like their head's been kicked in. And I think now we've kind of withdrawn so much from each other via all this you know, whether it's phones or computers or, you know, email, things that we all use with the business, which you have to have, obviously, to communicate. But I think people have found that it's kind of like a crutch. You know, I've got something I can kind of hide behind, or I don't want to meet you, so we'll converse back and forth either by phone or computer or email or whatever it is.
Yeah, and have sex with a pen pal.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, and you know
what
it is?
It's very simple.
It is, and you know what it is, though? It's a very dangerous thing, because the more withdrawn you get and the more you stay in and the more you avoid people, you basically just have shut yourself down, shut yourself off, and it's like then you got to go out and meet somebody or talk to somebody. I've met people, man, they can't even look you in the eye. I mean, they can't even look you in the eye. They look down, and I'm saying to myself, I want to say to him, hey, you think if I put my hand under your chin, I could fucking lift your face up? I mean, you know what I mean? And it's like, hello, you know, and it's like, you talk to him, and he'll be like, da-da-da-da-da, and he'll be like, yeah. I'm like, wow, man. It's like, and this is a thing I hear from people all over. Well, I'm having a hard time meeting somebody, or I'm having a hard time doing this and doing that. It's not the other people, chances are. The chances are it falls in your lap. The chances are you haven't taken the time to develop yourself. And this is why I'll hark it all back to what you and I and everybody else does. Going out, getting physical, discovering yourself. You know, when people say, well, you know, change your mind. Yeah, that's easy to say, but you know what you're doing when you're out there for year after year, day after day, and the thought process you have? You change yourself mentally where you no longer listen to all that chatter out there. And if you absorb it, you can get rid of it right away. You know how to cancel it out. So what you end up doing is you build this mind that is so different, man, that, you know, when you go and meet other people, they're like looking at you like, are you an alien? I mean, you know, they can't figure out, you know. And you know what I found too, especially with all this stuff I'm doing, you develop yourself in a different way, because a lot of the old things you did don't work anymore. A lot of the old feelings you had about people don't work anymore. People still like to screw around. You might get burned here and there, or they don't work out for you. They don't show up. I still don't like that, but that's a fact of life. But what you've done now, I almost call it like you put a moat around your brain. It's like you're protected by this big wall, and you got a whole set of Crocs out there surrounding you. And if anybody tries to get in that you don't want, they're taken care of. And I think now more than ever, I realize all that. And one thing I learned too with all this is I'm not the center of the universe. All right. With this, you've got to be able to be very focused, committed, obviously have a business plan for the next few years. Things change. Things that mattered to me before have no bearing on my life anymore. People that were in my life before, for one reason or another, whether it was disagreement over what I was doing, gone. And they'll never be back. I mean, would I talk to them 3 years later? Yeah, I'd sit down and, you know, maybe we could stand each other long enough to even have a beer with each other. But as far as developing a relationship, no, that would never happen again, because we're on two different planes of thought now. What used to work for me doesn't work for me anymore, and they're still living that. And if it works for them, good. But I'm not going to wait till I've been in working for somebody for, I don't know, 40 years, if I'm lucky enough to get through it and not get fired, and then say, you know what, man? I got a nice pension, but I wasted my whole damn life. Right. And I'm not happy, and I'm going somewhere now where what do I do? Look at all the people when they retire. How many of them within a year drop dead?
They're lost.
But, you know, gone.
I forget what the statistics are. I remember for the post office, the life expectancy after retirement was 6 months.
Yeah, absolutely.
Damn.
I mean, that's, yeah. Go ahead.
Having a brain fart.
Yeah.
If the focus of your life is somebody else's work or somebody else's business or improving somebody else's bottom line, how's that improving yours?
It's not. It's not at all. And, you know, I heard a thing the other day. Maybe you did too. I thought it was one of the saddest things I've heard in this country was this. The majority of people now don't believe they're ever going to have the American dream, which I think is savage, man. I really do. And secondly, the employers, just other people, do not see people wanting to work anymore, wanting to struggle, wanting to strive to get ahead. And
it sounds like they've all turned into federal employees.
Absolutely. You know, here in my state, if you're not a state employee, you're pretty much screwed.
Yeah.
And they're trying to kill the private sector here as much as they can. What is tragic about this is this. The American dream is still out there. But you know what the problem is? Now it's easier to say, I've been wronged, or I need to put my hand out and it's going to be all right. I got news for you. You want something, and I'll give this away for free, because most people charge, but they'll throw a bunch of crap in the whole pot for you. You got to work hard, and you got to be willing to work 7 days a week, and you might have to work 15 hours a day, and you might not see anything like me for 3 years, but I know that we're there now. We're at that turn where everything I'm just waiting on for next weekend, things can change, but I can take my life, what I want to do, and rip it 360. And I mean everything in a plus way. But you know what? The thing initially, you're going to have to be willing to go without, to discipline yourself, to constantly reinforce what your beliefs are, and be willing, and this is a big thing, be willing to be able to change your beliefs.
Yes.
You're going to have,
exactly.
Right. And that's right. And don't you think that's a big thing? I mean, you got to be able to alter your thinking.
Right,
and most people just can't do that.
They've stagnated. They're so comfortable with where they are that they stagnate.
Yep. Well, you know what my thing is right now? It's like I just want to giddy up and go. I am not a real patient guy at times, like a lot of people, because you want things now. but they can't always roll like that. And I've learned that discipline like that at times. Does that make me not want it anymore? It makes me want it more and more. But there are other factors, and I can't do everything. That's the thing. And when you're depending on other people, at times you can get your head handed to you.
Yep.
And that's a big thing that we all face here. But, you know, as far as with getting your head kicked in, this is what I say. It's like this. You've got to be smart enough, number one, to have passion. And when you got passion, you got to decide what you really want to do. And I've had people say to me, well, you're not married and you don't have a family. Well, what the hell does that mean? I mean, if I was married, I'd be damn sure if I didn't have something I liked that I was doing, I would definitely marry a woman that was similar, that backed me like I backed her, and she'd go with me no matter what. All right, that's number one. But number two, find something you love to do. Number three, if you don't know how to do it, go out and either get somebody or just go out and research. That's what I had to do. I still do it. For years, man, YouTube's been my best friend. Yep. If not buying books, or I talk to you, or I talk to Bill Hinburn. I talk to people that have been around longer than me, that have been in business, that have seen a lot of things, and they give me good advice. Now, it's up to me to decide what I want to do with that advice and use it or not. And when you start doing things like that, you start formulating a different mind, and then no one's going to kick your goddamn head in. Believe me,
right.
You're going to know how to get stronger. You're going to know how to pump your testosterone, because what I'm telling you is this. Things are going to start unfolding with you. And you know, like they say, the layers are going to start peeling off you like an onion.
Yes.
And then, man, and then you got that fire in your belly. And people are asking, what the hell's wrong with you, man? I don't understand you anymore. Or why are you doing that when you could have this? And don't you worry about your retirement and this, that. And I'm like, you know what? Screw it, man. I'll throw a fucking thing of gasoline and a match and burn it all up. Start all over, man. Build everything up, and away you go. Go ahead, Doc. Take it.
No, anyone who thinks their 401k is going to be there when they retire is a fool.
Yeah.
Anyone who thinks that their pension program isn't going to get swiped up by the government the first second the government runs out of funds is a fool. And anyone who thinks their IRAs are nice, safe, secure, and will take them through all their retirement years is a fool. I fully expect to work the entire rest of my life, maybe not as hard as I used to. I can't do 12 to 14 hours a day, take care of patients anymore, 6 to 7 days a week. I can't do that. Can't do that. Well, don't want to do that. Won't do that.
Right.
But,
right.
We progress from one passion to another passion. We shouldn't progress from a passion to no passion. And that's exactly what most folks do. They want to get married, okay, or they want to excel in athletics, and then they get married, and then they inadvertently pick the wrong spouse who won't help them and support them. Let me tell you a story. I was married to a gal, put her through chiropractic school, and whatever else. Nice gal.
Yep.
But whenever I had all these ideas for starting businesses, and I had all these ideas for starting stuff, her idea of a business was multi-level marketing. It wasn't...
Yep.
Multi-level marketing, she didn't want to know about it. Whenever I wanted to start a sports medicine newsletter, I wanted to do this, I wanted to do that, I got zero support. Okay, left that gal, met another gal, married her. Mm-hmm. She has ideas. I have ideas. We pool our ideas together. And amazingly enough, I go from being this crazy nature path out in the middle of the desert, in the middle of nowhere that nobody listens to having 430,000 entries in Google.
That's awesome.
You know, the other people have picked up on my work, and they've carried it on. All these crazy ideas I had that the other gal didn't want to help me with, couldn't even move her pinky to help promulgate it, even though they were working. All the patients were doing well. The folks the ideas were sound. Physiology was good. It takes the right person. Most people settle for a partner, but it takes the right person to help complete you. And here's where we get into an aspect of completing ourselves and being who we need to be. Think of the yin and yang symbol. You're one half of that symbol. You need to find the other half, and the fit has to be right.
Yep. And you need. Hopefully, you attract that person. I mean, I've got
43 years.
Oh well, yeah, but you're a blessed man. Yep. I mean, you know, and you know, it's funny. I know a couple people that are on this show. You know, people are always like, well, you know, you got to date somebody local. I was like, that's bullshit. One girl lived in Oregon, I believe. Her husband now lived in Boston. They commuted. They're married now. A couple of them are together now in Colorado when they used to commute back and forth. So it doesn't really matter. Commitment, I always say that in the beginning with our products. You got to commit. And if you got somebody that's going to commit and stand with you no matter what, you better jump on them, because you're going to be sorting through an awful lot of shit your whole life, and you might never find that person. You know, the main thing now, I think, with anything, it's like you got to have the confidence and the wherewithal and take a shot. Sometimes, man, you just got to believe. And no matter what happens, yeah. And it's like, what? I can't stand analytical. That's all I did my whole life, and I am analytical, but I can't take people. They're just analytical with everything because they're never looking at the positive. It's always like, okay, well, if I go out with this guy, am I going to go through all my money if I get divorced? And am I going to lose? Why do you even – what kind of
– That's like planning a pregnancy but having the abortion ready.
Absolutely. It's like, why are you planting seeds of death already on you? And – if that's what you are, and I can't stand any of that stuff anymore. Yeah, I have days when I'm like, I'm down on myself, but it never lasts anymore. I think, you know what my prescription would be, and then I'll give it to you and we can summarize everything up. You know what I tell anybody, seriously, they'll ask me, well, how'd you get this quick, you know, this far this quick? Here's my prescription for everybody out there that's suffering from, whether it's low confidence, you can't find somebody, this, that, and the other thing. Go do something worthwhile that's bigger than you. How about go open a business? If you still have a job, start it part-time. Learn how to build a website. Learn how to podcast if you're really good at that. You like to talk to people. Go out and create. And then secondly, get physical. You don't have to lift the stuff I do or do what Dr. Juan's doing, but do something, man. Do something that's going to make you stretch. If you do those things, I guarantee you, most people never guarantee anything. I guarantee you will have the best life ever. Stop wasting your money on people that don't give a goddamn about you. Going and seeing this one and that one, it's going to help me. Hey, you know what? People can help you. The bottom line is you're going to be the one that is going to define what you are, who you are, and where you're going. I could have 50 doctors here with me right now. I could have 50 sports guys and gals out with me in the garage training tomorrow, right? But guess what? Unless Eric buys into it, unless Eric changes his thinking, unless Eric executes it, commits to it, action, the whole deal, yeah, it might last for a month or two, but guess what? I'm right back to where I am. So here's what I'll tell you. Go out and do something that's bigger than you. Doc, take it away. After that, give all your information. I'll give mine and just hang on the line if you would, please.
One of the most important things, and I learned this in my ex-marriage that lasted 19 years, 6 months, 25 days, 12 hours, and 36 minutes.
Wow, you got the whole thing down. Wow.
Got to put up with the pain.
Yep,
because
absolutely.
Because if you don't put up with the pain, you'll never achieve your goals. You absolutely have to put up with the pain to get the pleasure. Now, I'm not getting into S&M here.
Yep.
Everything that is worthwhile to do, every goal is worth the pain that you have to go through to bring that goal to fruition. Just like giving birth to a baby, you can't have the birth without the pain. You got to go through the pain and gut the pain out, however long it lasts, to get to the end of it. And then, just like a mother who just gave birth to a baby, you'll be so thrilled with the end result, you won't remember the pain anymore.
Yep, that's so true. It's, you know, life, you know, you hear people say, you know, life is such a blessed thing. It is, man. It's like, if you can't appreciate your steps every day, I don't know how long you're going to stay in it. You know, I'll make this quick. You know, we always talk about Jimmy. And, You know, I think about my brother every day. It's impossible not to, every time I turn the computer on, obviously, you know, and I see what I've done to this point. You know, I watched a kid. It's really amazing now, as I'm an older guy, to think about what he went through, and I never heard complaining, and I never not saw a smile on his face, and the pain he was in was incredible. But he never would. And there was nothing wrong with him mentally, and I've said this before. We took him everywhere. You never know, other than seeing outside the wheelchair, that he couldn't walk. I mean, he was involved in everything. You know, my parents matriculated him in Catholic schools where we all went. And he was just loved, man. I mean, everybody, you know, he needed help, you know, pushing him around at school. And if anything happened, things of that nature, especially going to the bathroom and all that. But, you know, the most amazing thing, Doc, was this. There was a kid that was saddled with so much stuff, and he knew he didn't have a long expectancy, but you know, yet he was just always there, man. I mean, play ball, he's there. We're down the ballpark, he's there. You know, we take him everywhere. You know, I mean, nowadays you probably wouldn't even take him anywhere because of the way crime is and things of that nature. But back, you know, 20 years ago, it wasn't like that, man, and it was just. You know, neighborhoods were different. All the kids we went to school with all lived in the neighborhood. It's like, you know, the same old stuff. You screwed around and a parent caught you, you could get your head broken by them. Nobody was going to turn you in for child abuse, all right? Because it was close-knit. And the thing about Jimmy, I'll never forget, the church here that we go to, that we did go to, was called St. James, and this was one of the most monster-sized churches I've ever seen. I remember when Jimmy passed away. This is what was so special about him. Do you know? And do you know that people, they had the big doors, or these big, huge center doors and side doors. The people that were there were right out on the stairs. That's how loaded that church was. You couldn't get another person. It's unreal. And I just think about this. It's like. You know, when I'm feeling like, oh, you're hurt, or you got this, or this is coming down on you, or whatever, I think about Jimmy in that way, where it's like, you know something, I've been a very fortunate guy. Whatever happens to me, if I expire today, I've got no regrets, other than I'd like to see this thing just be the biggest gorilla you've ever seen in its life, and the standard for everything out there. But, you know, I also give a lot of credit to my mother and father. I mean, I know that they had to go through hell every day watching their son like that. And you know, to think that they stayed together and all the stuff that was expected from them, you know, getting them back and forth to school and all that. It's incredible, man. And
it epitomizes the word family, which you don't find anymore.
You don't. And most people don't understand those things. And it's like... You know, people will say they've got this, that, and the other thing, and I'll say, well, you know, I don't want to sound cold to you, but I've been through some pretty nasty stuff, too. I mean, I've seen, you know, what real heartache is, what disease is, struggle and all that, and I said a lot of things just don't spin me around like that. And I think I'm more with that direction. I think I'm more of my father's side. They were... And I'm not saying my mother's side wasn't tough. My grandmother was awesome. But the Fiorello side, they, like, had that steel jaw with everything, it seemed. You know, it was – they seemed to be able to take a pounding really, really hard. I never saw anything. I mean, they were very heartfelt people. But, boy, oh, boy, man, it was like – don't get their ire up, let me tell you. And they always seem to be able to get through things. And Jimmy had the best of both parts, but Jimmy had to be one tough kid to be able to just function every day. So I'll leave it at that. But, Doc, anything you want to add? If not, give out any of your information, the website. I'll give mine out, and just hang on if you would, please.
Thank you. My article's website is drwong.us, drwong.us. Got 50-60 articles there on everything from health to martial arts and spirituality. The sales site for our store and our products is drwongsessentials.com, drwongsessentials.com, and you can hear me rant and rave on my podcast and listen to my lecture titled Fighting the Things Most Likely to Kill You at drwongradio.com.
You got everything. Yeah, you got everything going, man. That stuff's killer. I've listened to your podcast for years. You got anything else, sir?
That's it.
Okay. This is Motivation Muscle, the podcast show that connects your brain to your brawn. We're sponsored, obviously, by Dr. Wong's Essentials. That's www.drwongsessentials.com. Sorenex.com, 803-978-2253, extension 111. Steven Santangelo, athlete's choice. He's got some great stuff out there. Go out to primalcreations at AOL.com or on Facebook. STEPHEN, period, SANTANGELO, period, 75. Don't forget, too, Ryan J. Pitt, StrongerGrip.com. Obviously, you know, he's been around for 10 years. Obviously, he's been involved with the NFL, college teams, Hollywood actors, arm wrestling, trophies for ESPN. He's been in Men's Health magazine, and obviously he's made custom hammers for Mick Dodge, FBC. I know he just made a couple for Odd Hagen. Over and over again, but he makes it for people that are seeking strength. It doesn't matter if you work out in a cellar, world's strongest man, outside like we do. You can lift in the trees. I'm sure he'll do business with you. So go out to StrongerGrip.com. Also to www.grasslandbeef.com. That's our good friend John Wood. It's also called U.S. Wellness Meats, high in the benefits of CLA and omega-3s, and he is grass-fed and grass-finished all the way with his meat. He also has grass-fed lamb, bison, free-range poultry, wild-caught seafood, raw honey, and other wellness products. So go out there and tell John that we sent you. And also, too, don't forget, February 1st, get your videos to us. Somebody's going to win the same hammer Ryan built for FBC. That thing is a monster. Take any. We were looking for video with your strongest lifts. Upload them to YouTube. On the line, on the subject line, you got to put in FBC and FBC and Stronger Grip. Stronger Grip now, and then put a dash and what the lift is you're doing. Obviously, you can go down to the paragraph and explain it. We'd love that too. We're going to do that from February 1st to March 17th. It's easy for you to remember the cutoff day. That's St. Patrick's Day. Someone's going to win a $350 hammer, and that thing is 25 empty and 83 loaded with shot. It is one of the nicest pieces of equipment and balance that I ever used. It looks intimidating as hell, but man, oh man, it works great. So don't forget, get involved with that. Also, too, the top 10 ways to build mind and muscle. Go out to FiorelloBarbellCo.com. You can download that for free. Strength times power equals success in the winner's circle. Those are the two biggest products we have to date. Go out. I'm telling you right now, for the price of them, you can get fully involved. I stand behind everything, and everything that's out there, I've done. We are authentic here, and I'm not kidding you. There's no BS going on here. I'd be glad to help anybody with that, and you can contact me at FiorelloBarbell@NICAP.R.com. I'd be more than happy to help you out. Also, too, sponsorship, gigantic here. We're going to be around 25 years, 5 to 15 shows. We're hooked in with MDA right now with the winter season. $30 of that $100 for this month goes to MDA for flu shots for the kids. As I've told everybody, Jimmy died from a common cold, went to pneumonia, respiratory. The rest is history. So we're dedicated with him to FBC and M&M. Join us. Be part of our millions of listeners. I guarantee you're going to have the best 25 years of your life if you hang with us. Also, too, don't forget www.FiorelloBarbellCo.com, MotivationMuscle.com. We're on iTunes and Stitcher. Give us a 5-star review. That's what we've got, and I want to thank everybody for that. You get a hold of me at FiorelloBarbell@NICAP.RR.com. If there's a particular show you'd like Dr. Wong and I to do, don't hesitate. I'm on Facebook at Fiorello Barbell, Motivation and Muscle, Twitter at Fiorello Eric, and I'll leave you with these five things. If someone seeks you out in the gym or the concrete jungle, never be afraid to give them a little advice. We know how valuable words are. Secondly, as my mom said when we were kids, never be afraid to say hello to somebody. or just give them a smile. You never know if that's all they're going to get that day. And as I always say, if you're going to go out and lift some iron and stone tonight, pulverize everything, bend it, dust, whatever you want to do. And as I always say, with a Hoosa steel stone, it's domination, painted in blood red on both sides. We are domination. We cut through everything. We clear cut. We don't follow a path. And join us, man. Millions of people, listeners, come to my family. I guarantee it. You're going to love what's coming up. Also, too, no one's going to ever clip our balls. And as Russell Fur says, when he listens to our shows, testosterone is dripping out of his speakers. I thank Russell for that, and I will say that to the day we sign off. Dr. Wong, thanks for being on, sir, and welcome back.
Thank you. Thank you for having me back on board. Be well, everyone, and God bless.
Thanks, Doc. You're the best, I'm telling you. So for Dr. Wong, this is Eric Fiorello. Thanks for listening. Dr. Wong will be on twice in February, and then he'll go back to once in March. So we've got this gentleman for a while. So be a steward of strength. Don't stand on the sidelines. Tell a friend. Come join my family, and we'll talk to you real soon. Have a great weekend, everybody.
Thanks so much for listening to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connected your brain to your brawn. We'll see you next time.